This weekend, we learned the U.S. has been secretly releasing high-level detainees from a military prison in Afghanistan, part of its negotiations with insurgent groups there. And yet, over the border in Pakistan, the U.S. stated yesterday they've ruled out negotiating with al-Qaeda. Last summer, al-Qaeda leaders kidnapped American aid worker Warren Weinstein. And Sunday, a video was released of Weinstein pleading for President Obama to meet his captors' demands to free al-Qaeda prisoners around the world.
My life is in your hands, Mr. President. If you accept the demands, I live. If you don't accept the demands, then I die.
We're joined now by Fotini Christia, Associate Professor of Political Science at MIT. Always good to talk to you, Fotini.
Thanks for having me.
Let's deal first with this policy that the U.S. has been following of releasing high-level detainees from prison in order to negotiate in exchange for peace pacts, really, with insurgent groups in Afghanistan. What's the rationale there?
So though we've made it clear that we will not be negotiating with terrorists and basically groups linked to al-Qaeda, we've also said that Taliban are basically insurgents, not terrorists, and therefore we're justified in negotiating with them for peace. And this is the whole idea behind the strategic releases of Taliban detainees.
So that, of course, explains also why we will not negotiate with al-Qaeda leaders who've kidnapped Warren Weinstein.
Yes, exactly. So basically, there's a few things going on here. It's interesting to see that on the local level, we make these negotiations. We basically release people in hopes of controlling violence and winning over some sort of tactical advantage. And these releases have been going on for a while. I mean, it's been going on for years. We don't know exactly when they started. But the way they function is we get guarantees from tribal elders that these individuals will not be involved in violence again. And then we usually use this tactic as a way to divide our enemies on the ground and pit different Taliban factions against each other. So basically, it's kind of a divide and conquer type of tactic.
And is it effective, this policy of arresting them basically on the battlefield and then returning them to their insurgent group? Does that work?
This is a great question. A lot of people on the ground, on the coalition side that have been involved in this, have expressed their frustration in the sense of, you know, here we are. We're capturing these people who are trying to kill us, and then we're putting them back in circulation, so to speak. At the same time, it's a policy that's, largely speaking, very consistent with how Afghans themselves do business. Afghans basically are notorious for switching sides, and an example of that was basically during our invasion in 2001 when we supported the Northern Alliance in the toppling of the Taliban government. But then, basically what Northern Alliance commanders would do was when Taliban fighters would turn themselves in, they would just bring them to the battlefield, get a barber who would cut their hair and trim their beards, and basically they would say, okay, now you're not Taliban anymore, and you commit to not being violent against us.
Well, that obviously wouldn't work, but do we actually get a meaningful peace pact when we return prisoners?
Yeah, this is a big question, especially when we are negotiating on this level, but we're not negotiating on a larger level with the Taliban leaders in Qatar who are basically requesting the release of Guantanamo Bay detainees. So we're very firm about not releasing those people, but we're happy to release people on the ground. So we do appear a little schizophrenic in that regard.
Levels upon levels upon levels. Fotini Christia, Associate Professor of Political Science at MIT. Thanks so much.